Welcome to the podcast of the Geological Society. My name's Sarah Day and I'm with Dr. Sammy McHale, who is a lecturer in Earth Sciences at the University of St. Andrews and researches, among other things, the geology of Venus. Is that more or less correct?
Yeah, that's good.
Good, okay. So I wanted to start by asking you, when we talk to geologists or think about geologists and what they do, we usually think of the Earth. What led you to being interested in other planets?
So my interest in other planets comes effectively from what you could call sci-fi, but is what every single person thinks, are there aliens? And then you look at stars at night, and when I first learned that they were called suns, they were actually like our sun, some of them, I wondered if they had planets. And the history of life on Earth made me think, wow, life's weird. Life can survive some extreme conditions, or what's the parameter space, or why is there even life on a planet in the first place?
So do you classify yourself as a geologist, though, despite the fact that you look quite a lot at other planets?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the work I do is focused on Earth. I mean, I only really study Venus because I want to understand why Earth and Venus are different. And it really always comes back to Earth. So my key driving question since a kid is, why is there life? And at the moment, we only know of life on one planet. So everything I do focuses on trying to understand Earth.
So let's talk about Venus then, because I think a lot of people look straight to Mars when we're talking about the possibility of life on other planets and also just investigating what we can about the geology of other planets. What sort of led you in the direction of Venus?
Venus attracted me because in so many ways it's so similar to Earth. So its radius, its density, its distance from its star, its bulk composition, it's so Earth-like, but then completely un-Earth-like in its environmental conditions. And it's a bit like if you knew twins, and one twin happened to be a high-flying lawyer, and the other one was an absolute bum. You'd want to know what happened. Why did these two people with the same origin diverge so dramatically? And that's probably, I'd say Venus is the bum and Earth is the high-flying lawyer in this scenario.
So is there any possibility of life on Venus, or is that something that's just completely out of...
Well, I suppose in the modern, right now, it's total sci-fi, I think, to say there's life. Some people argue there could be life in the upper atmosphere. So if you go high up enough in the Venusian atmosphere, in the clouds, you actually have the same pressure temperature as you do on Earth's surface. But then life in clouds would surely be some chemical signature we'd see. But I do think when the sun was less bright, because the sun is obviously not a constant in this solar system equation, that Venus would have been cooler. And how cooler? And the other question comes around, if you have the conditions that enable life to develop, does that mean life develops? So if you build it, will they come?
What is that extra spark that
kicks off? Yeah, that's the Holy Grail, right? That alongside the spark or the Big Bang, those are the two key questions that I don't think we'll ever really know.
And in terms of, so you mentioned you study the Earth, obviously, because it's much easier for us to get our hands on. What are the things that you can use on Earth to sort of compare with Venus? Presumably it's a sort of comparative process.
Every way that Earth's weird is a way to understand why Earth became Earth. So, you know, if you're studying people or groups of people, you always look for what distinguishes one group from another. And if you're studying planets, then you look at what's similar. Both have rocks on the surface, right? Both have a gassy atmosphere. Both have some volcanoes. Now, Earth has plate tectonics. So two questions come about there. What does plate tectonics do? And why do we actually have plate tectonics in the first place? So plate tectonics is probably the most, to me, amazing process, because when planets differentiate and they material goes where it wants to be. So say gold goes into the metal in the core, potassium into the rocks. And then if you melt those rocks, the elements which we describe as incompatible, so uranium, potassium, they go into the crust. Now, Earth's the only place we know that then says, okay, so you've put things where you want them. Now I'm going to put them back. And it's that's quite fun.
And do we know why that happens or what kicked that off?
It's a bit like anything, right? Things have to be in the right place at the right time. You have to be cold enough that the rocks are brittle. They have to be warm enough that they're not completely like solid, and they have to add, if you add some water, you make their rheology a bit more amenable to being moved around, and then all of this has to happen. But then does that mean plate tectonics kicks off? I mean, I don't know why it does. I think if we're speaking honestly, no one in the world will tell you they can guarantee that their idea on why it started is true. but you definitely can't be too, there is a limit of heat. You can't, you can be too hot or too cold. So once again, it's Goldilocks territory.
And Venus is at the moment presumably in a situation where it's too hot.
Yes, Venus is so hot that some people have calculated that if you fractured the crust or the lithosphere along its length scale, that it would heal.
So if it started kicking off in the first place, if it, it would just heal itself up.
If you had a high strain rate in you, because, you know, rocks can be non-Newtonian, which means, like water, if you get into it slowly, you just flow into it. If you land on water in a belly flop, it feels like a solid. And rocks are non, can be non-Newtonian. So if you have a stress field on Venus that's instantaneous, you can crack the rock. But the idea is it's so hot, it heals. Right? That's like a living thing, you know, it's weird.
Yeah, that is sci-fi.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of media and talk around expeditions to Mars and rovers that are sent to Mars. What's your sort of dream scenario for Venus? Is that something that's possible?
Well, we need to keep exploring Mars for sure. We do need to return to Venus. The atmospheric chemistry is, we have almost, say we have 50% of the data.
So we have been to Venus?
We've been to Venus several times. The Soviet Union, the United States, both had landers and entry probes into the atmosphere and satellites. Japan currently have a satellite going around Venus, generating some really crazy and amazing data. The frustrating part is that the technology exists. It's just the will to do it. It's a bit like being frustrated with anything. If someone has all the capabilities of achieving something and then they don't, that's when I suppose your teacher or your parent says, I'm not angry, I'm disappointed.
Disappointed in the lack
of... I'm disappointed in humanity.
Yeah. So why is that? Is it just not as sort of cool for funding bodies?
Well, I suppose if I knew the answer to that, I'd be the principal investigator of a mission to Venus.
Yeah.
But I don't know why it is that we haven't. There are proposals going in, one going in from Lee and Led from people in the UK. There are proposals being submitted to NASA. The Russian Space Agency are planning another mission to Venus. And so hopefully within the decade or more, we'll have those data.
And what is it that you think we might be able to find out if we could go?
Well, one of my biggest fascinations is the atmospheric history of Earth, Mars, and Venus as a trio. Now, it's a smaller number. Three is a tiny number, but it is the minimum for statistics. And there are some similarities. So there are some similarities with Mars and Venus in terms of the anomalies in their atmospheric chemistry. One being what's termed the missing xenon paradox. So both Mars and Venus have significantly less xenon than they should based on the chemistry of the other noble gases. Now, we don't know if that's just Earth and Mars, or is that Venus too? Is that a planet formation signature, or is that something special that happened to Mars and Earth? Even just answering that would be hugely useful. Because at the moment, we're categorizing, you know, we've basically seen more rocky planets outside our solar system than we have in our solar system, and we haven't got enough data from the ones in our solar system to know how ours formed. So how are we supposed to understand how exoplanets form and what their environmental conditions are when we haven't finished with this backyard?
So it's all there, literally.
It's next frustratingly door. Close.
Really close, yeah.
Yeah, Venus on average is the closest planet to Earth.
Yeah.
And most similar in size and mass, but somehow it's shrouded in mystery.
Tantalizing. And lastly, because it's Christmas and you have already mentioned your interest in sci-fi, one of my favourite things to do is watch really, really terrible science films at Christmas, and I wondered if you had any favourites, geologically or otherwise.
So you mean films that are so bad they're good?
Yes, exactly.
Ooh.
Our personal favourite at the Geological Society is a draw between Volcano and Dante's Peak. We haven't yet chosen.
So I recently watched on a plane San Andreas.
That is also a classic. Also The Core. I should have mentioned The Core.
Yeah, The Core. But San Andreas is so obviously terribly bad. But I think they actually made it not trying to be serious. I think they knew how bad it was. And I could watch that again because it's terrible. I mean, obviously anything with aliens, like the Alien movies, are my favourite movies, full stop. Especially Alien 1 and 2.
They're actually good, so I don't know.
But that's the thing, they're good. They don't really count.
We're looking for the really terrible good stuff.
Yeah. So no, I probably will watch San Andreas within the next 6 weeks.
Is that the one with The Rock?
It's the one with The Rock.
Perfect casting.
Exactly, they knew what they were doing.
Yeah, brilliant. Right, I'll add it to the list. Thank you very much. And thank you so much for talking to me today. And you can watch Sammy's London lecture on our YouTube channel. And thanks so much.
Thank you.